Chapter 6. A Mystery at Thornfield. That night, a strange sound woke me up. I sat up and listened, but didn't hear anything else. I tried to sleep again, but it was impossible. As the clock struck 2, I heard someone at my bedroom door. "Who's there?" I shouted, but no one answered. I heard a terrifying laugh right outside my door. I jumped from my bed and ran to see who was there. But what was that? I could smell burning. I followed the smell to Mr. Rochester's room. His door was open and the curtains around his bed were starting to burn, but he was in bed, asleep. I ran to bring some water and threw it over the curtains, extinguishing the fire before it spread any further. "Wake up, Mr. Rochester!" I cried. Mr. Rochester woke up. "What's happening?" he cried, confused to see me in his bedroom. "It's all right now," I said. "Your curtains were on fire." Mr. Rochester looked at the wet, burnt curtains around his bed. "Well done, Jane," he said, quietly. "Wait here. I must investigate something." When he came back, his face was white. "Was it Grace Poole?" I asked. "I heard her laugh outside my room." "Yes," he said. "Please don't tell anyone about this. I'll decide what to do with her. Now, just go back to bed." "Good night, sir," I said, turning to leave the room. "Jane, wait," he said. "You saved my life. Shake hands." He held out his hand and I gave him mine. "I knew you would be good for me," he said, his eyes burning. "Good night, my guardian angel." "Good night, sir," I replied, feeling very strange. "Are you really going?" he asked, still holding my hand. "Yes, I'm cold, sir," I answered. "Well, go then," he said. I went back to my room, but couldn't sleep, even for a minute. I was impatient to see Mr. Rochester the next day, but scared to see him too. I had never experienced these confused emotions before. I kept remembering him holding my hand. I expected him to appear in the schoolroom, but he did not. The servants believed Mr. Rochester's candle had caused the fire and that he had extinguished it using his water jug. I passed the master's bedroom and saw there weren't any curtains on the bed. Leah was cleaning the room and I went in to talk to her. I was surprised to see Grace Poole sitting there, sewing. She looked at me, calmly. "Good morning, miss," she said, and carried on sewing. "Good morning, Grace," I replied. "What happened last night? I heard there was a fire." "Mr. Rochester was reading in bed," she said. "He fell asleep with his candle lit, and it set fire to the curtains around his bed. He woke up and put the fire out." "Did you hear anything?" "Yes, something woke me," I replied. "I heard a strange laugh outside my door."
"You were dreaming, miss," Grace said. "But in future, lock your bedroom door at night."
I was curious about Grace Poole. Why was she still here? Why hadn't Mr. Rochester asked her to leave? My imagination ran wild. What control did she have over him? Was Mr. Rochester attracted to her? No, she was not an attractive woman. Impossible. Later, I sat with Mrs. Fairfax. "It's a lovely evening, isn't it?" she said. "It's good weather for Mr. Rochester's journey."
"Oh, has he gone away?" I asked.
"That's why the house is so quiet."
"Yes," she said. "He's gone to stay at the Ingram family's mansion. He often goes there. They've got 3 daughters."
"Really?" I asked.
"Oh, yes," she replied. "The eldest, Blanche is really beautiful. She's got long blonde hair, bright eyes, and lovely skin. And is this lovely lady married? I asked, feeling uncomfortable. In my head, I was thinking, does Mr. Rochester like her? Mrs. Fairfax smiled. No, she's not married. She's 25, and she's very attractive. When I was alone in my room, I drew a picture of Blanche according to Mrs. Fairfax's description. Then I drew myself and put the two pictures next to each other. She was beautiful, whereas I wasn't even pretty. What was I thinking? A week passed with no news of Mr. Rochester. 10 days, and he still did not come. Finally, Mrs. Fairfax received a letter from him. I tried not to ask about it, but fortunately, I didn't have to wait long to hear news of him. Mr. Rochester is coming home on Thursday, Mrs. Fairfax told me, and he's bringing some friends. We must be ready for them. For the next 3 days, the servants cleaned the house until it shone. I watched Grace Poole disappear to her room on the third floor. What did she do up there all day by herself? I was curious about her. Then I overheard a strange conversation between Leah and a servant called Rose. She gets excellent wages, Rose was saying. Oh, yes, better than all of us, replied Leah. She's always going to the bank in Millcote. But Grace is the only one who could do a job like that, Rose continued. Nobody else could, despite all the money she gets. Suddenly, Leah noticed me on the stairs. She put her hand on Rose's arm and they both stopped talking. Doesn't she know? Whispered Rose. I saw Leah shake her head and move away. I understood from this strange conversation that there was a mystery at Thornfield and that I was definitely excluded from it. On Thursday evening, I was sitting by the window with Mrs. Fairfax and Adele, waiting for the guests to arrive. Eventually, we saw ladies and gentlemen on horses approaching. Mr. Rochester was on his brown horse, with Pilot by his side. Adele wanted to greet them, but I told her she couldn't go until Mr. Rochester sent for us.
Oh, but I want to see the beautiful ladies, she sighed. When will Mr. Rochester send for us?
I don't know, I said firmly. Mr. Rochester is very busy. Perhaps you'll see them tomorrow. Come and eat your dinner now. After dinner, Adele and I sat on the stairs, listening to the music from the salon. We heard Mr. Rochester singing, too. He had a very pleasant voice. I went to bed early that evening. The next day, Mrs. Fairfax told me, "You'll see Miss Blanche and Mr. Rochester tonight," she said. "Mr. Rochester wants Adele to come to the salon after dinner. He asked you to come, too." Adele was excited all day and not at all interested in her studies. I also found it hard to concentrate. In the evening, Adele put on her best pink satin dress, and I put on my best dress, too. We went downstairs together and sat in a quiet corner of the salon, waiting for the ladies and gentlemen to arrive. Soon we heard voices and Miss Blanche arrived. She was like my picture of her, with a long, graceful neck and dark eyes. She seemed to need a lot of attention from the gentlemen. She laughed all the time, but it wasn't a kind laugh. I watched Mr. Rochester with her, and it hurt me to see them together. Was I jealous? Was that why I didn't like her? She was beautiful, but unkind. I saw this in the way she treated Adele. She was cold and pushed the child away whenever Adele came near. Oh, I'm so sick of all the men I know, she complained. They're all weak. I want a strong man. Now, Mr. Rochester, please sing, and I'll play the piano for you. Of course, he said, and began to sing in a voice full of emotion. I listened until the song was over. Then I got up and went towards the stairs. The salon door opened and Mr. Rochester came out. It was too late for me to start to go up the stairs, but I really didn't want to talk to him. "How are you, Jane?" he asked. "Tired, sir," I replied truthfully. "Come back to the salon," he said. "You left too early. Why haven't you spoken to me all evening?" "I didn't wish to disturb you, sir. You seem to be very busy with your guests," I replied. "And now I'm very tired, sir." "And you seem depressed. Why, Jane?" he asked. "It's nothing, sir," I answered, trying to hide my eyes. "I'm not depressed." "Well, go to bed then. Good night, my—" He stopped, bit his lip, and turned away quickly.